Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 7th, 2018 at 6 o'clock. May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner George?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
And Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
All present?
Thank you very much. On the agenda review, we have a light agenda this evening, but is there any changes to the agenda as it is presented to us by my fellow commissioners?
No.
I'm trying to fly through this so quickly. Let's step back a step and let's do our flag salute. Commissioner Fowler Payne.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we have a public comment and suggestions period. The public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and the Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. Is there anyone in the public tonight that would like to step up and make a comment on a item or an issue that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will close the community comment period at this point and request from staff, were there any additional correspondence or supplemental information for tonight's meeting that
none this evening
needs to be presented? Thank you very much. We have three items on the consent agenda for consideration. Two are minutes, and the third item is a time extension. Unless there's a desire to have any one of these separated, I will entertain a motion for approval of all three items.
Move to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve these three consent items. We have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin?
Yes. These items pass 5-0. We have a single public hearing item on the agenda tonight. It's conditional use permit 17005, considering the sale of beer and wine at a movie theater on West Branch. Can we have a staff report at this point? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. As you mentioned, this is conditional use permit 17-005, a request to sell beer and wine at the existing movie theater, now a Regal Cinema. So to take a look at the project site, it's zoned regional commercial. It's outlined in this image in red. It's located at 1160 West Branch Street, and it is surrounded by the Five Cities Shopping Center. However, it was developed prior to the shopping center being developed. So a little bit of background about the item itself. Throughout the state of California, there's approximately 120 movie theaters that are currently selling beer and wine. Locally, we have two, one in San Luis and then another outfit in Atascadero. Since about 2013, the California Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control has been issuing licenses for these. The first few years were kind of a pilot program where they were trying to figure out how this worked. And they did, during that period of time, kind of come up with some standard conditions of approval for these types of requests. Those standard conditions are included in your staff report tonight. Also included in your staff report is the Regal Operations Plan. So this is how they themselves in their movie theaters handle this type of operation. What staff went ahead and did was took a look at both of those items, so the ABC conditions as well as the Regal Operations Plan, and tried to craft conditions of approval that in case the operation changed in the future, it became some other movie theater company, at least those conditions of approval and that kind of standard was moved forward. So you'll notice some similarities, some kind of blending of conditions, so that's why we did that there. The applicants indicated that the beer and wine sales adds enhanced services for patrons of the movie theater. I know the applicant's in the audience tonight and is prepared to give an overview of the theater industry and what they're specifically looking at our movie theater. The sales for beer and wine will be made at the concession stand only. So there are movie theaters that will allow auditorium ordering and delivery. In this case, it hasn't been requested, and in fact, we've conditioned it to be at the concession only. If in the future the movie theater wanted to amend that, they'd have to do an amended conditional use permit, and we'd come back to the Planning Commission to take a look at that. One of the items that we kind of blended together from ABC and from the Regal Cinema itself is up to two beverages at a single purchase. So any one individual can purchase two alcoholic beverages at a time. That is for individuals that are physically present and providing identification at the concession stand. So, for instance, I would not, if I walk up there alone, I would not be able to buy two. Personally, I would have to have a legal adult with me that I'm buying two alcoholic beverages for, and they would need to provide their identification as well. Staff at the Regal Cinema will receive specialized ABC training. So this is a couple of different things, identifying counterfeit identification, handling if in the instance that there are overly intoxicated individuals in the theater, handling those types of situations. Additionally, a manager of Regal is required to be on duty at all times that alcoholic beverages are for sale. And then additionally, the ABC requires, and I forget the technical term, so I'll call it substantive food. So there is kind of an expanded food menu included with your staff report that they're looking to do. I don't believe they're looking to do all of the items on the menu, but they are providing food of substance for patrons attending the movie theater. So some of the special conditions that we included, again, the two beverages per person at one time, concession stand only. We didn't include the translucent container requirement. That way the movie theater staff can determine if they have a translucent cup that is allowed to be an alcoholic beverage, and they can see what's inside of it. The cop review of the chief of police. So that's a special condition that we kind of crafted after consultation with the applicant that allows after 1 year the chief of police to review any additional calls for service to the movie theater to determine if it's this permit and allowing alcohol to be sold at the theater that's causing any increases. If in the opinion of the chief of police it's risen to the level that it's needs to be reviewed, then it would be brought back to the Planning Commission and we'd review the conditional use permit to determine if we can refine the process at all to eliminate additional impacts to police resources. Additionally, the alcohol control plan provided by Regal will need to be provided to the chief of police. Any refinements after tonight's meeting are really what we're looking for to that. Anything that comes out of the Planning Commission's review this evening. And then again, the appropriate training of the Regal Cinema's employees. Now, the staff advisory committee did review this project, and that's where we really got the police department to weigh in on the proposal. They reviewed that back in June. We discussed how the operation would work, how it's worked in other movie theaters, and kind of how it's envisioned to work for our movie theater itself. We just developed the specific conditions of approval in front of you this evening, and the staff advisory committee did recommend approval of the project as conditioned. In terms of environmental review, we determined that it's exempt per Section 15301A of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. And we did provide public hearing notices to all property owners within 300 feet of the site. We published the public hearing notice in the Tribune, posted it at City Hall on the city's website, and the applicant did post a project sign announcing the public hearing at the movie theater itself, and that all happened in July. The agenda and staff report for this evening's meeting was posted in accordance with the government code, and we've received zero comments on this item. So as I mentioned, the applicant is in the audience and is prepared to kind of give an overview as well. But at this time, that concludes staff's presentation recommending the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving Conditional Use Permit 17-005. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Downing. Are there questions of staff from the commissioners? Commissioner George?
For general conditions number 4, it says the applicant shall automatically expire, the application, sorry, so shall automatically expire on August 7, 2020 unless a building permit is issued. Can you explain what building permit is required?
Certainly. So we expect some minor interior remodel at the concession stand if necessary. Additionally, there's a condition in there to upgrade the bathroom facilities to make sure they're water efficient, so we'd be looking for that as well.
So we're tying the upgrading the bathroom to whether or not they can get the beer. Correct. And alcohol license. Thank you.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne, do you have a question?
Yeah. I know I've been to some of the theaters where they're doing the beer and wine, but they were restricted to certain theaters. It wasn't in every one. Are they proposing to do that? You know, maybe two or three of them, and the other ones are open to the public with kids in them?
Not in this case. My understanding of theaters that are specifically that have it in specific theaters is those are more order from the auditorium and it's delivered to the auditorium, where in this case, because they can only buy it at the concession stand, it's a little different. But I would also defer, if my understanding is incorrect, I would defer that to the applicant.
Okay. That's our question at the moment.
Mr. Shiro?
So you're saying that this would run with the building, or it wouldn't run with the building? So in other words, if they sold it, if they sold the theater to another company, it runs with it.
Correct. So the entitlement does run with the land. So if it did change hands and become a different movie theater operator, they would still be allowed to do it.
Okay. And the specialized ABC training, is that any different than what our servers and bartenders at Rooster Creek have to undergo? Is it a special movie theater training program, or is it just your server's certificate?
I would defer to the applicant for the if there's any differences.
Okay, that's all I have.
Commissioner Mack?
I don't have any questions for staff, but I do have the applicant.
Okay. I just have a quick question as well. Is there any kind of history or problems in enforcement or in this, at least in the two other theaters here in San Luis County? Didn't expect you to do any survey statewide, but
Not that we're aware of. In every jurisdiction that it's been implemented in, it seemed to have worked out rather well.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I'm going to invite the applicant to come up and introduce himself, and if he wishes to add anything to the presentation made by staff, they're welcome to, and be prepared to be grilled by the commissioner this
okay.
afternoon.
Okay, terrific. Hey, good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. My name is Steve Rawlings, and I'm here this evening on behalf of Regal Edwards. Regal is the parent company, and they operate as Regal and Edwards, so if I kind of interchange the words, it's kind of meaning the same thing. So just for the record, we concur with the staff recommendation, and we do agree to all of the conditions of approval that are presented to you this evening. So with that, I do find that it's oftentimes very helpful to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of the theater industry in general, and then I can walk you through a couple of the specifics here. Matt did an excellent job of kind of giving you a really good perspective, and I'm sorry I'll be a little bit redundant to Matt, but I'll try to rush through some of the things. As Matt had indicated, currently in California, there's about 130-ish movie theaters that are of similar nature to the theater in your community. I call them the suburbia type of movie theater model, that are presently selling alcohol at their movie theaters. Most of the major chains, like AMC, Regal, Edwards, Century, Cinemark, are doing this across the country. And they are doing it where it is being sold at the concession stand, not so much in the auditorium. There are some theater models, Cinépolis, ArcLight, IPIC. There's a few of those types of models where it is truly a, hey, come and we're going to serve you dinner and you know, there's a little table right here, and it's a whole in theater experience. But most of your major brands that I mentioned earlier are much more of a concession stand type of, a model. One thing about the theater industry, I think most people probably have come to realize this, that theater attendance in general across the country is down, and that's a trend that doesn't appear to be, ceasing anytime soon. And a lot of people say, oh, why is that? And I say, well, the theater industry is extremely challenged by the home theater market. Every one of us sitting in this room probably has a pretty big, flat screen TV. We've got a sound bar. We've got Netflix. We've got, Amazon. We've got an Amazon Fire Stick. And if you're technologically savvy, or if you got a college kid, the Amazon Fire Stick can be jailbroke, and then you can pretty much watch a movie that is currently at the movie theaters right now. And of course, that's certainly hurting attendance. I'm not condoning it. It's just, it's criminal to do it, but it's happening widespread across the country. So in response, what have the theater companies had to do? I mean, this is their business. They don't have a monopoly on the content any longer. People can, watch it in other methods, or you can just wait till it comes on Netflix or, Amazon Prime and do the pay-per-view. What they've had to do is they've had to up their game. I mean, in order to keep people coming out, they have had to up their game. They've had to, offer something better than just popcorn and Milk Duds, although I still get popcorn and Milk Duds. But they've had to actually offer, better concessions. Most of them are going through, including Regal, is upgrading their seating to just make it a much more comfortable atmosphere. And they're also adding a luxury amenity of beer and wine at most of these theater outlets. The addition of beer and wine isn't at all looking to change the nature of the business. It is simply to offer a beverage to an adult that would help them come out and enjoy their movie experience better. Most people, and we can just take this from our own experience, make all of their concession purchases before the movie starts. We go to there, we get the popcorn, and my wife will go in and get the seat, and I'll get some popcorn or whatever, and then we'll go in and sit that. And that is true with the alcohol service, too. Most people are going to make that purchase before they enter into the auditorium. They're going to enter into the auditorium. And approximately industry-wide, 10% of the adult population will actually make a purchase of an alcoholic beverage at a movie theater. About 10% of that 10% will actually make a second purchase. After the movie starts, the only reason any of us leave our seats is because we have to go to the bathroom. I've never got up to go, gee, I want another soda or another thing of popcorn. So what happens in the providing of this beverage is that it's usually made, the purchase is made at the beginning of the movie, and it's brought into the auditorium. As was mentioned, ABC did a pilot program starting in about 2007 or 2008, and they licensed a few movie theaters in the state of California and observed it. And about 2012 or 2013, they kind of changed their policies based on the data that they had collected, and that allowed all of the major movie theater chains now to be able to come in and offer an alcoholic beverage to their customers. A couple of other things that come with this is that these are all very, very large corporations that certainly take their business very, very seriously, and they take the dispensing of alcoholic beverages extremely seriously also. They're not looking for any issues in their auditoriums. They're looking to just simply enhance the experience to get, adults to come on out and be able to watch this. There will come a day in which all of us will be, ordering our tickets online. That was one of the other things that I forgot to mention. That's how they're upping their game, too. No longer do we have to wait in this big, long line and rush in there to get a good seat. Nowadays, you can pretty much go online now and reserve a seat. Most of the theaters are going to that model. This theater has not, adopted that, but in a lot of the other theaters in the chain, that's what they're doing. And again, it gives you a little bit more of a comfort level of saying, gee, I know exactly where I'm going to sit, so I don't have to wait in a big line and worry about where my seats are. And so, again, the theater companies are trying to up their game to keep people coming out to the movie theaters. all the theater companies have developed models to, you know, prevent any kind of nuisance behavior, as Matt kind of touched upon. We do sell the alcoholic beverage at the concession stands. That's actually by design. We feel a little bit more comfortable. We've got more management people walking around and being able to observe the people that are, making that purchase. So if there are any issues, we've got plenty of staff there. It's better lit, and we can do a better ID check and observe the person to make sure that they're not over-intoxicated. When you mentioned about the training, we have our own internal program that pretty much mirrors the RBS training, or the LEAD program that is by ABC. For those of you that aren't familiar with that, it really does cover very comprehensively, how to make an ID check properly, things to look for. It talks about very, very clearly and succinctly, you are not to serve somebody who looks, clearly intoxicated. And a lot of people don't understand this, that while the theater company is ultimately responsible, that individual person that is serving also has responsibility in this too. If there is a bartender or a server who is handing out an alcoholic beverage to somebody who is falling over, that person is legally responsible on an individual basis. You can't just simply say, oh, just find the company. Oh, no. You have a personal problem. And those are some of the things that are covered in this training program, that, hey, you as the individual server have the responsibility to be doing proper ID checks and observing individuals. And obviously we as the company do too. On our busy Friday and Saturday nights, we will have 5 to 6 managers on duty, and as well as our staff. There are people that are designated to be auditorium monitors. And this is a lot more than just simply poking your head in and looking around. We kind of do an H pattern, if you would. When we do the observation, the person who enters into the auditorium stands kind of down here at the front, takes a look up at the crowd, walks all the way up to the very top, again looking down at the crowd, cuts across, and does the same thing on that side. So it's kind of an H pattern. We do it a minimum of every 30 minutes. These are people that are specifically trained over the age of 21 that are actually doing the monitoring in there. And a lot of people will say, gee, it's a dark movie theater. And I say, well, go watch the next movie you go watch. And when there's a daytime scene or a massive explosion, you can see everybody very, very clearly. They are very well lit. We do serve the alcohol in clear plastic containers. I did bring a little picture. I'm sorry, it's not a very good quality one, but I get asked that all the time and pass those around. We don't serve them in a container. You won't find a beer can or anything along those lines. We take the alcoholic beverage and we pour it into a clear plastic cup. There, all the other beverages that you order, Coke or coffee, they're in more of a paper cup, so it's very easily distinguishable as to those particular, those cups. And again, our people are trained to go in and observe the individuals and look for the drinks and so on and so forth. When we're doing our sales, obviously we're observing those people. Believe it or not, there's not as many sales as you would think, so it's not like it's this, everybody in line is there for a beer and so on and so forth. So we're able to kind of, identify individuals that have, the beverages. And I say that because, some people say, gee, somebody goes in with a beer and then just comes out 60 seconds later. Well, when we sell them that second alcoholic beverage, a manager escorts them. So we do have a policy of frequent purchases, so that if we do observe somebody who does come out, makes a purchase and then comes back in 5 minutes, we're like, whoa, wait a minute. And we will go follow them into the auditorium to make sure that it didn't get passed off to somebody who is not of age, or if they did happen to do that, then we ask the person to come out of the auditorium and we do an identification check on that individual. Typically, if we have to remove somebody from the theater, if there is a policy violation, we will escort them out. We give them a refund of their money. We're not looking to, but hey, you violated one of our policies. You're not welcome. here's your money back, try again another time, and please, you know, be a better, you know, better person and observe the rules and regulations. By and large, I get to ask this question all the time. I work with several of the major movie theater companies. By and large, there have not been any major incidences in movie theaters throughout the state of California as a result of the alcoholic beverages. The alcoholic beverages, typically, there's only one that's purchased. The container sizes are limited by ABC. There is a little bit of a limitation due to economics. Do not expect that these are going to be inexpensive drinks. These are like going to a ball game kind of prices. You're going to be $7, $8, $9, $10 for a beer or a glass of wine if you look for it. So I say that to kind of emphasize that, again, the theater companies are not changing the nature of our business. This is not a place where people are coming to consume a lot of alcohol. They are there to watch a movie, and they're making one, you know, typically one purchase and enjoying that while they sit there in the movie theater. Whereas at home, they can, you know, hit the pause button, you know, go back, refill, so on and so forth. And in the movie theater, we're trying to get them to come back out and enjoy the movie at the movie theaters. So with that, that is, in general, kind of our you know, the information about the industry in general. Also, a little bit more detail about our particular, you know, internal procedures and policies. And again, it's a very large corporation, and we haven't had a lot of. I don't know of any major issues in the state of California that has resulted in any of the movie theater chains, you know, as a result of, you know, selling some beer and wine from the concession stands. So with that, thank you very much for your attention to my very monotone presentation, and I'm here to answer any questions that any of you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Rawlings.
Certainly.
Commissioner Mack, you have a question?
Yeah, if you... What is the average age of your employees that run your operation?
I don't know what the average age, but anybody that's involved in the sale or serving of the alcoholic beverages is over the age of 21. Our management staff is all over the age of 21, and the people that monitor the theaters are over the age of 21.
I have several children. Two of them have worked for you or for that cinema. And that's why I ask, because normally I see teenagers, you know, the doorman and behind in the concessions and stuff like that. So are you changing your policy now, hiring all people who are 21 and older?
No. There will still be people. You know, we obviously have a cleanup staff. We have other concessions. But a person who's not over the age of 21 is not involved in the transaction of a beer product or an alcoholic beverage. They you know, so we still have concession spots that are available for people that are not over the age of 21. If there is a beer and wine order, then somebody who's of the age of 21 is the person that is checking the IDs and doing the service of the alcohol.
So along the same thing, the intention is to go through the concession.
Absolutely.
And purchase your beverage that way.
Yes, sir.
Is it going to delay people going through the concession, having to card them now? And then I have another question after that.
There's certainly the possibility that, yeah, it would be a little bit slower because we're going to take the time to do a proper ID check and observe the individual there. But we typically have several stands or stations that are open at the concession stand. Also, you know, the whole real reason that there are staggered starts on all movies is exactly for that. It's concession stand control. So, you know, you have a movie start at 7 and then, 7:15, 7:30, and that is really to help with that type of control there.
So I guess my question was, you're not going to redesign your concession to have, like, an area where people would just come up for alcohol, period, versus all the other concessions?
We do not. We typically allow that product to be ordered at any of the concession stands because we want people to be able to make a purchase also of popcorn at the same time.
So here lies one of my concerns, because it was said, and it's also in the report, that anyone can go up and purchase two drinks at one time. Is that true? So you're only really carding one individual, but you're buying two drinks?
No. I can actually make a transaction with two if my wife is standing there with me. I can't make a double-fisted by myself.
Okay, so then they would be carding two individuals.
Correct.
To ensure that two drinks are to 21 and over.
That is correct.
Okay.
We have had some circumstances on a slow night where if somebody says, "Oh, hey, this is for my wife," then we escort them into the auditorium and ask to see the person's ID. On a evening that's not as busy. Obviously, a Tuesday night's not going to be nearly as busy as a Friday or Saturday night.
So, if that individual was coming back out on the movie to repurchase again, both adults would need to be present to do a two-drink purchase.
Absolutely.
Again, correct?
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Shiro, do you have a question?
I'm good.
Commissioner George?
Just a really simple one. Do you plan on changing operators for the theater anytime soon?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, it's owned by Regal. They bought. Is it an Edwards or do we operate as Regal? We operate as Regal.
Regal.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe they purchased the theater from. It was a previous operator about 15 years ago, I believe.
Okay, and there's no plans to change it out that you're aware of.
No.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
I actually have no questions because Commissioner Mack asked them all.
Okay.
I was concerned about the age of the concession operators because they all seem to be very young, but you're saying it's going to have 21-year-olds
yes.
now. So that's as long as that is well understood by them. I just hate to see the younger kids lose their job if you're going to have to hire all 21 because, you know, that's...
We don't actually see a reduction in the overall employment numbers. Actually, we end up actually hiring more folks when we do, introduce this. We need more monitors for there, and then obviously we need some additional servers or at least management staff to be there, and so on and so forth. So we actually see a little bit of an uptick in our employment numbers.
Have you ever... approved this and then afterwards rescinded your approval because maybe you didn't have the volume of people that used it or, you know, there wasn't the revenue from it?
I didn't understand.
I think maybe it is to rephrase this. Once approved and you initiate the sales of beer and wine at this theater,
yeah.
Is it possible that after 6 months or 12 months or some period of time that this sales practice gets abandoned because it's not an economic policy for the theater?
What you would see in general is I'm the general manager of this particular location there. I may stop my sales at a little bit earlier, like on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. There's no reason to keep my staff there for longer than I have to because we're not very busy. So what you would see is just kind of the curtailing of the hours of the offering. It is still an important part of our business model, whether or not the economics are there or not. It is a function of trying to get some folks to come out to the movie theater and be able to do that. And if all of a sudden you started it and then you stopped it, you're going to really probably upset some customers.
But hypothetically, I could go to an 8 o'clock movie on a Wednesday night and find that the alcohol is not being served at that point because the local manager for that night at that point just said, "Hey, we're not making it available right now." Or
8 o'clock. Yeah, 8 o'clock would be a little bit earlier, but a little early. But
that's fine.
9:30, 10. Yeah, there might be a chance that they might not make that product available.
I'm not going out for 9 o'clock movies
here. I'm not either anymore. So I understand.
I'm not even sure how many 9 o'clock movies we offer here in the community. But, anyway, is that helpful? Does that help clarify your question?
Yeah, I guess. I thought I had clarified it, but go ahead. I'm done.
Okay.
That was the only thing I had.
Okay.
I don't have any other questions.
I just had one last one. Do you have cameras inside the
Not inside the actual auditoriums, but there are security cameras in the lobby and on the exterior.
Okay. Is there a camera that shows the concession area?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's my good. Thank you.
I'm just kind of curious on how what's the alcohol level on, say, two glasses of wine if you've been in there and then you leave to drive? Are you still below the intoxication level that they. I'm not a drinker, so I don't even know what the intoxication level is. I'm just thinking if they go in there and they have a couple of drinks and they leave and get in the car and they've got a couple of kids with them, I mean, are they endangering?
There's a lot of factors when you, you know, start talking about limits. I can give you a pretty long discourse in that. It has a lot to do, obviously, with size of the person, whether or not you've, you know, whether or not there's any food in your stomach. If you've eaten a lot of, like, carbohydrates, that actually absorbs alcohol, so on and so forth. Typically, I would say in a general setting, but again, there's a lot of factors in that. Two drinks would not put somebody over the limit. In a typical situation, I mean, there's obviously extreme situations, and that doesn't apply. That's not a blanket statement, like absolutely it couldn't happen, but typically it would not put somebody over the limit.
Or just concerned with the drinking and driving with the in a family situation where you're taking your kids to the movie or something. But I guess that's their responsibility.
And again, another factor of that is over the time period in which you're you know consuming the alcohol too. Typically, two drinks in 1 hour is not going to put somebody over there. Movie is going to be more like 90 minutes to 2 hours. Typically, is what a movie is going to be. So it probably not going to be the situation.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to bring it back to the commission. Are there any final either questions for staff or any comments before I entertain a motion on this item?
I have one question for staff.
Okay.
The chief of police review, is there a date set for that? Is that after 12 months or is that just on a complaint basis or whether or not they see that crime has risen in the area? What determines a chief of police review?
Sure. So that's condition of approval number 20. Which says that the applicant has to notify the chief of police when alcohol sales begin. So that's for this conditional use permit. And then after 12 months from that date, he or she will review it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mack, do you have any comments or questions at this point?
Yeah. Well, my comment is I'm really surprised that there's no one in the community here. I'm really surprised. Either they haven't been informed and don't know what's happening tonight, but this is a big issue, as far as I'm concerned. And we're allowing alcohol in a public place where families are and children are. This isn't a bar that we're approving or sale of a new wine tasting facility down the block or. This is allowing alcohol into something that has been normally a family use. So I guess my comment is I'm having a hard time with this one in terms of gaining my approval to sell alcohol with children. And then when are adults going to start setting an example for their kids that they could just not drink for an hour or two to watch a movie. And, you know, that's one issue. That the second issue is courtesy to the patrons that are paying a lot of money to be within the movie theater and watching that movie. I've had a couple events in my past over the past 5-10 years where I've gone and taken my family and or my special date with me and there'd be heckling and chuckling, and, you know, they snuck the alcohol in. When you have alcohol and you have abuse of alcohol, especially in a theater, they pretend to be more boisterous, and they tend to be disrespectful to other people that are paid good money to go see a movie. And, you know, one drink, no, it's really not going to. But when you start saying two or three and they can get back in line and get another one, you know, abuse will happen. It won't happen all the time, but if we start allowing and compromising and allowing and moving towards that threshold, it will, you know, someone's not going to follow the rules. So for me, I like to protect families. I like to protect the children. I like to protect them getting home safely. I'd hate to see more DUIs as a result of this, and DUIs with children that are in the car. And I'd just like to hear what other commissioners think and feel about this before we just say, other theaters have been doing this, so we should approve it too. Is this what we want for Arroyo Grande and Arroyo Grande families and citizens?
Okay. Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have comments?
Well, you know, I've been at theaters where they have it confined to certain individual theaters where they had the alcoholic beverage. I think the one up in Atascadero is that way, because I had to say, well, what are they doing in that theater over there? And that's where the alcohol was served, but the other ones were restricted, I guess. But my main concern is, and not so much with having it there in certain theaters, but we as Arroyo Grande, we don't really have any activities for our youth. We don't. They used to have dances, which they don't have anymore. There's just nothing else for the kids around here to do, or the preteen, teenage kids to do, except go to the show. So now you're subjecting them to saying, "Hey, it's okay to drink," you know. So I'm a little concerned with that. If they had it confined to certain theaters or certain adult movies, I don't want to say adult movies, but R-rated movies, that's one thing. But if you're going to have kids in there watching a G-rated movie for kids, and then you've got somebody sitting next to you drinking wine, I have a little problem with that. But other than confining it to certain theater rooms, that's where I would go with it.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner George?
I think that whether people sneak drinks in or buy them there, people who really want to drink that badly and consume that much are going to find a way to do so. It's no different than going to Walmart, drinking a ton right before they go into the movie theater. My concern more so, speaking of families, is if the movie theaters don't find ways to find additional revenue, they will close and there will be nothing for the kids to go watch. There will be nothing to protect them from because there won't be any movie theater there. So I struggle with understanding that the theater needs to find different sources of revenue because the applicant is right. People aren't going to the movie theaters as much as they used to, and short of constantly raising the rates of the tickets, which makes it cost prohibitive for young families, especially if they have 2, 3, 4 kids, to go to the theater, you have to find other sources of revenue. So I've been to enough theaters where they do serve alcohol, and yes, there are instances. The one I experienced wasn't, they weren't loud and boisterous. He actually fell asleep and started to snore.
Just as bad.
Yeah, it's equally as bad, but there was no disruption. You know, I think children are used to having alcohol around them. The amount that people praise the wine industry here, and every restaurant you go to, even if it's a family dinner, the parents can order a glass of wine or a glass of beer, and the children they're not really affected by it. So I'm more inclined to support this because I want there to be a movie theater moving forward, and I don't want the movie theater to close because they can't find the funds to stay open. So those are my comments.
Commissioner Shire, do you have anything to add at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, looking at the customer experience as a restaurant owner, it's so vital for the existence of any business. But I just looking at why this why we're here, it is because they need additional revenue with declining revenue. And we just came from Blythe, California, where the movie theater closed down. And I actually think it was a chain. I'm not sure which one. And there's not a lot to do in Blythe. And the family that we were with was pretty upset about it. But when you look at the negatives and the positives, one of the things that you have to really realize with alcohol is that you have to give people a responsible opportunity an opportunity to be responsible and make responsible choices. And from everything that I can see, there's also the serving side of that, which it seems like ABC has been monitoring this for years now. And if knowing the ABC and having experience with the ABC, if there were problems with it, it would never get out of the pilot program. And as far as our town, you know, people were afraid when we did a beer feast that this would be a drunken, you know, people falling down. And I've been to beer fests that are that way. And our town, we have a very responsible town. And just watching people come in, not that there's never problems, but overall, for grade on a curve, we get an A. So I would trust our town as a whole to be able to handle this responsibly, would encourage them to do so, and would be voting in the affirmative for the applicant.
Very good. Thank you. I don't have any additional comments I want to add. I think they've been pretty well covered on all sides at this point in time. I'm going to entertain a motion to approve.
Are you making a motion?
No, I'm entertaining a motion. If I don't hear one quickly, I will. I'm going to. So
I'd like to make a motion. The Planning Commission of the Rio Grande approved conditional use permit 17-005, located at 1160 West Branch, applied for by Regal Cinemas, as is, with no amendments.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner George?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
No.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
This item passed 4-1. Next on the agenda is non-public hearing items, and we have none on the agenda tonight, nor do we have any administrative decisions that need our observation or review since July 17th. Last couple items on our agenda here tonight, any commission communications or any correspondence or comments that anybody on the commission would like to share with the community at this time?
No.
Oh, wait, I do have one, very quickly. If anyone is interested in watching our Five Cities Youth 13-year-old baseball compete in the College World Series in Mountain Home, Arizona, their games are going to be streamed on Facebook. And if you just go to Facebook and search their live broadcasts and 13, make sure you put 13 in there because they have more than one World Series. Mm-hmm. You can do that. And their first game is Thursday morning at 10 o'clock.
And this is a Babe Ruth 13-year-old?
Babe Ruth 13-year-old, yeah.
You inadvertently said College World Series, and I'm sure they'd
love to. Did I say college?
You
I'm sorry.
Did, by the way.
But yeah. I was just thinking about the College World
That's
Series
great.
And the drop ball it costs.
Absolutely. Any staff communications to be shared with the community here at this time?
Just I'd like the commission to know that we did submit an active transportation program grant for the Halcyon Road Complete Streets Plan. The grant deadline was last week, and it was a significant grant effort. We were able to submit, I believe, a competitive grant. We'll have to see in a few months. And in the meantime, we'll be finishing up the plan and bringing it forward. It's right now in the environmental review stage, so once it's concluded, we'll be noticing for that environmental review and bringing the plan forward for a selection of alternatives.
Very good. Thank you.
I had a question of staff.
Fire away.
Do we have rules in place in our development code that address sheds and structures that, like tough shed coming in and doing a 10 by 20 tough shed in the back of someone's home?
We have accessory structure limitations. for 100, I was going to say 120 square feet. We have some separation setbacks, and those are looked at when they come before us. And if they're smaller and fit within the setbacks, then we don't issue a permit. But they do need to meet the rules.
So there's a size requirement. If it's underneath a particular size, it doesn't need to follow those standards. It could just be placed anywhere on the site, like on a property line.
If they're smaller than that, then they do not need a permit, but they are supposed to meet the setbacks on the site. We believe that many probably are located within those setbacks. There are some variations from the actual structure setbacks. They're setbacks specific to accessory structures. They're not well monitored because we don't issue permits.
Okay. I just noticed there's a lot of them starting to surface and pop up, and people go, well, do I need a permit for that? I go, well, you need a permit for any structure that you want to put on your site. And just wondering if we have the vehicle there that we can point them to within our development code to make sure they're within the rules.
It's 16-48-030.
That is the section, and I was just inquiring as to, we are preparing a handout for accessory structures. I just can't remember if we finaled that or not. But we have been receiving questions. We are noticing they're just very easy to purchase and place or construct. And we are starting, you know, we do get complaints on occasion regarding those. So we are looking into developing a handout for informational purposes.
So it's a complaint driven then, and then
currently,
you have
yes.
code enforcement do a determination, and then
that's correct. Neighborhood services.
Nothing happens, or you write a letter to that homeowner.
Yes.
Okay.
I have one question. Have you had any complaints on these vacation rentals, or the RVOs, or whatever, from adjacent property owners or anything?
Not from any of the ones that are permitted. No. The biggest complaint we get is neighbors who say they're renting out a garage, things like that, which code enforcement follows up on to make sure that it's properly permitted and all of those.
I was just wondering, basically, on the vacation rental things that we've been approving that last year.
Yeah, we haven't been hearing many complaints, any complaints, really.
Anything new with our Bridge Street project and moving forward and circulation of the EIR?
Well, the Bridge Street Bridge project is completed its environmental review. It's in design, and it is we are in the right-of-way negotiations for some areas that we need construction easements for. That should be concluded in the next month or so. We are lining up all the milestones and hope to be in construction in 2019. It's just a long time period, but that's the way these large projects go, and we have to really make sure our sequencing is correct for the Highway Bridge Program funds and also for the logistics for closing the road and the bridge for an extended period of time. We are also just starting on our Traffic Way Bridge project. That's another bridge that needs attention, and you'll be hearing more about that as we investigate further replacement or rehabilitation options.
Very good. Hopefully that's it for tonight. This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you very much.